The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 4th of December, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We have a quick guest in studio, and then we're going quickly to what's in the news, open line style show. Let's get it started. I'm going to start with my Sand Dollar Live reads. We're giving away sand dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday, you can be a winner. The Sand Dollar Unit at the Central Bank has another message for you this morning. Sand Dollar Holiday Rebates is here. Get up to $100 back this holiday season when you spend Sand Dollars, the digital Bahamian dollar, at selected merchants. If you're in Nassau, you can present your Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and receipts to Team Sand Dollar at the Sand Dollar Rebate booth located inside Omni at the Mall at Marathon. Each receipt must have a total of $50 or more. Additional rules and restrictions may apply. Visit sanddollar.bs/merchant list for a list of merchants. Good morning from On the Clock and the Sand Dollar Unit. Let's get this show started. Joining me in studio this morning is Mr. C.A. Nuri. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good yawning this morning, Erin. Thank you very much for inviting me on your show again today. I am excited. It's the beginning of the week. It's beginning to look a lot like...
I have a new business. And that business is selling trees that you could use as a Christmas tree. See, you have to have a license to sell Christmas trees. I'm okay with that. That ain't what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm selling a tree you could use as a Christmas tree.
Okay.
Innovation.
That's innovation?
Yeah.
So you can use the sour orange tree and then light it up?
I mean, I don't want to say exactly what tree I could use because I may have gotten it out of your yard. Sound like you want me already, but the point is, you don't need a pine tree for a Christmas tree.
Erin, I grew up in an era where my stepfather used to go out by the airport road and chop down those pine trees and bring it home.
Plenty or just one? He used to sell them?
Well, he's got a big one. He's got one big one and bring it home and the whole house smell like pine forest.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, then I realized that the store-bought tree looked different. And I said, I don't like this one no more.
You don't like the real live tree?
No. I like the foreign one.
The plastic one?
No, it wasn't plastic. No? It came just from abroad.
Okay.
It looked, just looked different.
Yeah.
Their pine forest different from our pine forest.
That's why it costs more. You have to pay for all the extra pine. Trust me when I tell you, I only charging you $1 a leaf. A pine tree have 17,000 pines on it. The tree I selling you probably only going to have 10 leaf on it, and you could be good. Yeah. Anyway, joining us in studio this morning is Nurse Joanne Chambers. She is joining us to tell us briefly about the Ministry of Health's immunization program. Good morning, ma'am. Could you please introduce yourself? And I know that you're a nurse, but I don't know what type of nurse you are. Are you the pinching nurse? The nurse who's pinch you before you get the needle.
She doesn't even say to stick with the needle, though.
Yeah.
I'm needle nurse.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Again, Nurse Joanne Chambers. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure being here. It's the most exciting show, I think, to wake up to in the mornings. And it seems exciting already. I'm actually more intrigued about the tree situation than the immunization situations that I'm supposed to be speaking about. But I'm speaking about a different type of stickiness here.
Yes, ma'am.
I am a sticker, yes. I do vaccinate. I do immunize as much as I can and when I can. And that's primarily what I'm here for today. I'm a registered nurse. I'm attached now to the Ministry of Health and Wellness Training Department. And that's right on Meeting Street, off Nassau Street. And so I'm just here as a promoter and a supporter of the current initiative that the Ministry of Health and Wellness and the Pan American Health Organization, or PAHO, has initiated together to get our children vaccinated or back up to speed with our vaccinations, immunizations that we would have probably all had many years ago and are still giving today to keep diseases that we can prevent from returning.
Absolutely. So let's start. What is the immunization program? And first things first, how do I know that my child needs an immunization? Where do I check? Where's the schedule of vaccinations?
Yes.
And what's my first opportunity to get them checked, get their record checked, and make sure they're up to date?
Well, the good thing about the Bahamas healthcare systems is that we work very closely with each other. We have the primary level, which is your local clinics in your communities and your family islands, and we call that public health. And then we have our tertiary level care centers, which is the Princess Margaret Hospital, Sandilands Rehabilitation Center, and the Rand Memorial in Grand Bahama. At Princess Margaret Hospital, at the time of birth, from the time a child is born, there are already an alignment or a scheduling of what that child will need as they are discharged with mom or without mom. As they proceed to grow and they proceed on with their lives, there's a schedule that is given to mom as to when her first checkup will be along with the baby and what will be offered at that time. At that doctor's visit, the child is assessed by midwives, community health nurses, as well as physicians. And they will be given the schedule as to when to return, which is most likely at a two-month period for their first set of vaccinations. And the journey begins from there.
Okay. All right. Now, see, I missed it. Whatever happened, I gave birth. I was living with family, maybe in New Providence, moved from the family island, transitioned back to the family island, and things just got a little chaotic.
Yes.
That's okay, right? Yes. Just come in and check.
We just want you to know that I think that the elephant in the room has been the COVID-19 situation. Ever since the pandemic, there's been a lot of resistance. There's been a lot of hesitancy from our communities to continue with our immunizations and our vaccines, which is understandable. And I think for us as healthcare providers, it remains the same. There are questions that linger. However, the immunizations that we provide in the Bahamas on a routine schedule basis have been given over many decades to many of us, and it has kept us alive and disease-free. And that's been tried and proven much more than something that we just heard about overnight.
Absolutely.
So on the family islands, I give praises to and shout-outs to all the family nurses, family island nurses and physicians who make sure that when our moms return to the family islands, they are not neglected, they are not forgotten. They are caught up. They are told exactly what they need to do for their babies, as well as for themselves, because they also need to continue their immunizations into adulthood.
Absolutely. And I'm sure mothers and new families, new parents appreciate not just the attention to detail, but the empathy and understanding the uncertainty and the nervousness of new parents and guiding them through the process.
Yes.
Now, last week, you guys were here to talk about the immunization event on R.M. Bailey Park.
Which happened,
on Saturday.
Yes.
And we're going to have another opportunity.
The last one for the year, I believe. I don't know, unless there is some special initiative added.
To catch people at Christmas,
coming Saturday, yes. This coming Saturday at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at R.M. Bailey Park. There will be a team of healthcare providers from our public health staff that will be willing and able to provide the vaccinations, the immunizations that your children have been lacking for so long. There are no lines. It's free of charge. You just bring a valid ID, a government ID, a passport, NIB, or bring your current immunization card of your child.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see exactly where your child is, what they've gotten already, what they are lacking, and how we can catch them up. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Ask the questions that are required and are necessary so that you understand what your child is being given I mean, I think we become fearful of asking questions until after the fact, and we're like, oh, that's too much needle. My child not getting all that. But ask what they're for. Polio is one of those diseases that we have not seen in the Bahamas for many, many, many decades because it's been a direct result of the herd immunity we've achieved through our vaccination and immunization programs in the Bahamas. We want to keep it that way because, unfortunately, we seem to see a lot of these vaccine-preventable illnesses resurfacing in different forms. Mm-hmm. They've almost mutated, and they have come back to attack another generation of our young children. Mm-hmm. And because they've been out of school during the pandemic, that's another factor that we had to catch up with, not just the education part, which is so important, but also the health.
Mm-hmm. And I think we don't ever consider the weight of a public health crisis, like a resurgence in a disease like polio or measles on small island developing states.
Exactly.
In 2019, I was at the UN, you know, just selling Kong salad, and one of the participants in the session I was in was from Samoa, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. Us on the western side of the world, we don't say it properly. Yeah. I just want to remind
Samoa.
Us. Right? And they had just had in that region an outbreak, of measles.
Yes.
Because they had had a surge of anti-immunization advocacy.
Yes, that's what it causes.
Yeah.
And that's what could cause it.
And it they were on the brink of a public health crisis because of it.
Yes.
And with so few resources.
Yes.
Right? It really weighed on the minds of parents.
We've come close to, you know, in 2018, right before COVID-19 was even announced, we had a situation where we had a measles case that was introduced to the Bahamas. It was an international visitor that came to the country. And thankfully, our pediatrician, which was a private physician, but also works closely with the public health sector and our surveillance team, they were able to notify us in surveillance then that there was this child that presented with the typical symptoms of measles and what actions, medical actions, had been taken in the meantime to help prevent that spread right there in that private office. Because believe it or not, just the air circulation, touching of surfaces could easily be a source of contracting these kind of infections.
And so for a small island developing state that has tourism as the thrust of its economic...
Always at risk.
Right, and you see the headline today, Nassau Cruise Port sets new annual record for passengers, which suggests that for us, immunizations is a major part of our public safety and national security platform.
And we travel too.
You're right.
Bahamians just don't go to Miami anymore.
No,
across the globe.
I want you all to know, I've been to Zambia.
Yes.
And half of our cousins in Zambia.
Hello, Mother Africa.
Jerry Roker in Zambia. They're having a good time.
We have our lovely Ghana nurses here. Yoo-hoo. Welcome to
Absolutely. Good morning and welcome to our sisters and our brothers from
Ghana.
We say good morning.
Yes, six.
And if any of y'all from Princess Town, I need y'all to go hail up our boy Robin Lightburn, who's working on a major project in Ghana. It's a beautiful, beautiful. So let's get back to Saturday, December 9th, R.M. Bailey Park.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I'm sure there will be persons there setting up from before. So you can always stop by and ask questions.
Yeah.
And they will be persons who are from your various clinics throughout New Providence. And so they are familiar with your communities. They're familiar with some of you who are their residents and visitors usually to the clinics of those communities. So they're the perfect persons. It's the perfect time because there's no registration, no long lines, no wait lists. You just go in with your valid ID and a copy of that immunization card if you have one already. And if you've lost it, well, guess what? There's no worries. We could always find a way to make sure that you have a valid one produced or reproduced for you.
Absolutely. And don't forget to bring the children. Most important part.
Kids. You got to bring the kiddos. Now, the kids, just be prepared, you know, because you may have to catch up at one or two of the injectable vaccines. But our nurses are, I would say, very gentle and humane.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will take their time and explain to you before they actually inject or administer any immunization to your child.
Right. And parents, sometimes we transfer our consternation, our fear about needles and medical procedures.
Calm.
Children will do what you do. Go with them, sit with them, hold them.
Yes.
And tell them
we get tattoos, we get body piercings. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm a nurse and I stick how many hundreds of people. But I'm fearful of getting a body piercing. I'm fearful of getting tattoos. It's amazing how we can build up this resistance in our minds. And mind you, I may go to a tattoo parlor now and not have a problem at all.
Yeah.
But it's because of the fear and the resistance I've already placed in my mind. So try and become parents, guardians, if you're coming. They feed off your energy. Children will feed off your energy.
And so now for me, you're going to have a bouncing castle there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
if you want to bounce around, that's fine.
I'm going to find some children to bring to immunize so I can get on the bouncing castle. Now, immunization cards are important to keep.
Yes, they are.
But we cannot laminate them, right? Because we have to write on them.
Yeah, we have to constantly add to them. So it's good to keep them in a secure environment that is nice and dry as possible. Nothing that is close to liquids. And if you could keep them, for example, in Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
Those are sealable bags. You could open them and reseal them properly. So in case there's a flood, God forbid, or there's a fire and the sprinklers come on, anything that happens, even just walking and they drop out of your bag, at least they're protected just like your passport. Mm-hmm. You keep safe and you want to keep, you know, secured. You want to do the same thing for your immunization card because that also is a part of your national identity. You go cross borders, they're going to ask you what shots you have in some countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Yellow fever
is
in particular.
Definitely one. That's a mosquito-borne illness. We have the mosquito here in country. We haven't had yellow fever outbreaks, but we do have the mosquito that can always be a potential cause.
Yeah, and potential carrier, and with the large movement of ships.
Oh, yes.
And people throughout our archipelago, we always have to be on guard.
Yeah, from all over the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nurse Chambers.
Yes.
Once again, come out on Saturday morning.
Please
it
do.
Starts at 10.
Yes.
You bring whatever documentation you have.
Yes.
If it's an old card, bring it.
Yes.
Try to remember the last clinic where your child would have received an immunization, and come out.
Correct.
Don't be afraid. You won't be penalized for not having the right information. It's not a test.
Yes.
The point is, bring the kids out and make sure that they're up to date, particularly if you're preparing your children for a future abroad, even if it's just a short stint in academia. These records are very important as a part of their student life.
I'm telling you, kids don't just go to the U.S. anymore. They are all across the U.K., and Asia, South America.
Absolutely, the Caribbean.
Know. Yes, it's vital. And some Caribbean countries are just like us. They will require you to have certain vaccines or immunizations as well. I think that is important for us to recognize as we come closer to next year when we have June again, May, June, where we have our graduates that are going to be preparing to go off to university. Start getting these vaccines, these immunizations ahead of time so that you could see how your body has responded to build that level of immunity that you need before you actually get to the place of risk.
Oh. Absolutely. Will the flu shot be available?
The flu shots will always be available. This is our flu season as well. This is fall. This is the time for when our season is changing again. You could feel the difference in the temperature. Kids are going to be out of school for the Christmas holidays soon. That's a lot of virus to go around. So if you've had the flu vaccine, and I reiterate, persons are hesitant sometimes to take the flu vaccine because they're like, oh, it gave me the flu. You have to remember to ask your healthcare provider when you sit in that chair, if you have symptoms of a cold or flu at present, sinusitis, allergies, please let them know ahead of time because sometimes it could exacerbate those kind of issues if you add a flu vaccine to that. If you're allergic to eggs and egg products, please be mindful of that because you're not really encouraged at that point to take the flu vaccine because you could have an
adverse reaction.
Okay, so it doesn't necessarily give you the flu. You have to know what your underlying issues are. We won't know unless you tell us.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, the flu vaccines will always be available for you.
Elderly and geriatric family members.
Yes.
Can I bring my grandmother, can I bring my aunt out to check her immunizations?
That I'm sure that will not be a problem because they are considered a community high-risk group.
Okay.
So the high-risk groups we have in our community are very young, the very old, and the ones who are in between, the chronic illnesses, those who are hypertensive, diabetic, heart disease, cancers, and then we have those who are antenatal, which is our pregnant or expectant moms.
Yeah.
So they are high-risk groups, and they're definitely welcome to come out. If we can't assist you or facilitate the need then, we can definitely get the information that is required to get back to you so that we can figure out where we go from there.
Absolutely. And listen, go out for information.
Yes.
You know, if you're a little concerned,
yes,
this is the place to ask the questions. Yes. Don't ask me, Erin Green, because I am not an expert. Right? Go out, ask the nurses.
Yes,
you're not
yes.
forced to take a vaccine because you asked a question about a vaccine.
That's why we come to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hassle for you to come to us sometimes in the clinics. It's a bit busy and a bit congested. We're coming to you. We're bringing the help that you need to you.
Right. Absolutely. And again, for students who are preparing to travel in the next 6 months to a year,
yes,
don't wait until the deadline to attempt to take all the vaccines at
exactly.
one time.
Some countries require you to have a level of immunity way in advance before you actually get there. It's no use to take it the day before you leave sometimes because you're still at risk of catching that particular
and
illness.
And you don't fit the criteria.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Nurse Chambers, once again, what is the unit that's hosting this event?
The Expanded Program of Immunization, or EPI unit. They are attachment to the Public Health Department of the Ministry of Health and Wellness. They are located right beside Flamingo Gardens Clinic on Carmichael Road.
Okay.
There is a unit there that will house your EPI or National Coordinator, and she will be on later on this week as well to promote the same cause and to even provide further information and details as needed. And I can guarantee you the team is very small. It's a handful, but they've been working hard. And they've gotten the rest of us on board because that's what public health is all about. It's not a one-man band. It's a team effort, and that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to care for each other.
Yes.
And this is that space where we must always assess our actions to ensure that we are not harming
exactly.
anyone.
Exactly.
Through our actions. Ms. Chambers, it's been a pleasure to have you here today. Once you said bouncing castle, I can be out here. And from you say you need a churn to get in. I can find some churn.
Man, no, we can have some music and all. You could bounce around like that too.
Absolutely. Adults also come out and check your record.
For sure.
Make sure your tetanus is up to date.
Definitely. Every 10 years, it's due.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the national coordinator will be in later in the week
yes.
to answer some more in-depth questions.
Yes. And she's a midwife too.
She is?
Yes.
Awesome.
So she has some good insight for our expecting moms and moms who have delivered recently.
And
I'm sure your questions will be very well answered.
Right. And fathers
yes.
and auxiliary caregivers
yes.
who also want to ensure yes. that they are up to date with the right information
for
expecting
for
mothers.
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nurse Chambers.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Mr. Nuri.
Hey.
Back to my Christmas tree business.
Yes.
After the break.
After the break.
I can expand on my plans.
Yeah. I once you're not spending it too expensive. These Christmas trees are costing like $100, $200 now.
See, that's because y'all don't use it right. My Christmas tree comes with a whole tutorial on how to use the whole tree.
SOP?
I don't know what that means.
Standard of operations.
No. We don't have any standards in my company. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I understand.
Producer, take us to the break. Again, Nurse Chambers, thank you so much for joining us. You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
Get ready to jingle all the way to Christmas with Fidelity's festive giveaway, with over $10,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Apply for a loan or open an ASU savings account for a chance to win big. Visit any of our branches for more details. Terms and conditions apply.
Magic of Christmas at Nassau Cruise Port all December long. Visit Santa and his helpers at Santa's Workshop for holiday photos. Enjoy Christmas caroling, wreath decorating, mixology classes, and movie marathons. And of course, come for the great concerts and holiday shopping. Nassau Cruise Port is your ultimate destination for Christmas fun. Visit NassauCruisePort.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for details. Nassau Cruise Port, the place to be.
Cashmas time, here we go. Mercy's doing it big this year. Cashmas time with extra cheer. 12 days of merry winnings from your friends at Island Bay. Friends we trust, hey, we know. Cashmas time, here we go. Prizes and lots of dough. This Christmas, come catch a lick with 20 on your account. Quick, quick, quick. And you can win some awesome stuff at Percy's Island Bay.
Planning for Christmas couldn't be easier with Kelly's House and Home. We have a fantastic range of gift ideas for men and women and all the latest toys for the kids. Our Christmas department is filled with trees, ornaments, lights, garland, and so much more. We have everything you need to keep your family Christmas traditions alive. Check out our holiday shopping guide on kellysbahamas.com. We make shopping easier for you with online shopping and in-store pickup. Kelly's House and Home is open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. Happy holidays from Kelly's House and Home.
Earning zero interest on your savings at the bank? With as little as $100, you can start earning interest on your money while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank with the CFAL Savings Express Plan. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
What would you do with extra cash? Plan a trip.
Overhaul my wardrobe.
With CIBC First Caribbean, you can get comfy with savings on your mortgage costs. Buy or build your home or switch your mortgage to us and get up to $1,000 off the loan application fee. Up to $2,000 off home insurance. With up to $10,000 towards switching costs, your pockets will be comfy too. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/get comfy for more information. Conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Yawning and welcome back. I guess you all know my producer is a Junkanoo man. I don't know, Mr. Nuri, I'm going to have to submit all my playlists to the producer so he could determine whether it is Junkanoo season worthy, whether it deserves this airtime, because all the airtime may be earmarked for Junkanoo. It's Junkanoo time. And because we know it's Junkanoo time, that means it's Christmas time. And Mr. Nuri, I had a full list of stories I wanted to touch on today before I woke up and saw today's newspaper. I'm just going to read off those headlines, and then we're going to get into the story that really piqued my interest this morning. So here are some headlines from last week that caught my attention. They all have a similar thread to it, and I think they are worthy of conversation. Head boy locked up unlawfully, $50,000 damages after student behind bars for 17 hours and missed BGCSE examinations. Another student-centered story, education minister, we need to revisit corporal punishment. But that story is a bit of confusion in the public about the minister's various contributions. I read the story as saying that we really can't be beating 15 and 16-year-olds, and we need to figure out more effective and efficient models for behavior moderation. Some people say she's saying, look at these children, we need to start beating them again. We need to talk about it. And that's compounded by a video I saw and a public discussion on students and adults fighting on a high school compound. Another headline, man accused of sexually abusing mentally ill woman gets bail. A former corrections officer was granted bail after he twice allegedly sexually abused a mentally ill woman this summer. Another headline, Monroe defends both monitoring company and police after criticism. Another headline I think we should get into this week, maybe on Wednesday. Another headline, written policies for humane treatment of migrants. Significant number of people who believe corporal punishment has detrimental effects. NIB move saves drug access for thousands. I don't like how they wrote that headline. That headline is supposed to say NIB move saves jobs for scores of Bahamian government employees who fell down on the job and don't realize that access to medication is an essential. I like that headline better. Another headline, one person injured after three vessels catch fire at Potter's Key and vice chairman assaulted outside of F&M headquarters. Now, through all of that, Mr. Newry, was a duty of care. Definitely a duty of care. I've got a call coming in on my phone from Michigan. Please, I'm on air. Don't call me.
You have family in Michigan?
I think so. I ain't sure. I have family all over the states, man.
You ain't sure if there's your family in Michigan?
I ain't sure.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah, answer it for me.
I got to answer you online. You're on air, dude.
You go in the corner.
Okay, I'll answer it.
Absolutely. So here's the thing that was in the news this morning that piqued my interest, and I decided I'd really like to talk about that. It is the Christmas tree and the statement by Mr. Bowleg, the Minister of Youth Sports and Culture. The headline is Bowleg, $25,000 Christmas tree wasn't completed. $25,000 Christmas tree wasn't completed. So that's the headline. So when I started, I thought to myself, I read the article, right? In fact, let me read it so you could understand.
Appreciate what is happening.
I appreciate even just the tone in my voice right now. From the article, Bowleg, $25,000 Christmas tree wasn't completed. Youth Sports and Culture Minister Mario Bowleg defended the aesthetics of the Christmas tree in Parliament Square yesterday, saying the tree was incomplete during last week's national tree lighting ceremony.
Pause.
Yeah, that's where I was going to pause.
We had a national tree lighting ceremony with an incomplete tree.
Yeah.
So there are a number of persons who are pontificate and said, oh, y'all took the picture early. But this picture was not taken early. It was taken at the tree lighting where all the dignitaries and Bahamians alike was downtown and saw the tree for the first time. And they said, let me take this picture of our national tree at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. See, my sticker pin was, why doesn't the minister sound like he's apologizing? Because surely you would be apologizing that the tree was not complete for the start of the event to light the tree.
Who are we to receive an apology from a minister, from the minister in general? Who you think you is?
So why are you going all the way over there, face?
I just want to say you asking for
an
apology.
I'm one of the people paying for the tree. I'm one of the people paying for the tree. I'm also one of the persons who were inconvenienced, I'd say unnecessarily, for the entire event. I'm one of the people who traveled through town and did not witness a sign anywhere indicating that there would be major delays for the setup of the event, for the lead into the event, and for the event itself. I'm one of those people that wore the burden of the event. So surely I get to say something about it. But see, let's start here. I expected an apologetic tone when the minister gets up and says, oh, The $25,000 Christmas tree wasn't completed for the event it was contracted for. Bang. But no, you actually telling me that the tree wasn't completed in defense of critique from the members of the public who said that the tree looked incomplete. I want you to understand that, because sometimes, I assure you this, sometimes we become parents and we erect these models in our home where we're not required to be honest, we're not required to be truthful, we're not required to engage with accountability. And then we leave our homes and we enter the real world and we try to apply those models to adults in the real world. See, sir, when you say, quote, people are entitled to their own opinions, indeed we are. You continue, you can see a tree and like it, and I could see a tree and don't like it, but that's the difference. We ain't gone ever, and I'm moving to page 5 so I get every word correct. We ain't gonna ever please everybody. Dear sir, let's talk about it. This is the complete, see, the tree was incomplete. That's the completely wrong tone to take with the citizens of the country that you operate in. This is not a matter of everybody has their own opinion. You tell people that when they drive past your house and laugh at the tree in your yard. You don't tell citizens that when they engage in public discourse about the cost of this event.
Aaron, over the weekend, because I knew you was going to talk about this, I sent you a clip.
Yeah.
I sent you a clip by the undersecretary. I didn't even know we had an undersecretary. I know the permanent secretary, but I'm learning new government concepts and terms, right? Mm-hmm. There's an undersecretary of culture who was at the Christmas tree lighting, mm-hmm. and he gave an update or a response to the critique, the Bohemian critique about the Christmas tree. And I say, hey, we need to play this so we can also analyze what exactly is what the undersecretary is talking about.
Producer, Kermit, play that clip for me, please. The clip I sent you. See, the whole tone sounds familiar to me.
What do you mean it sounds familiar?
It's the tone of defense. It's the tone that politicians take when people engage in reasonable critique that politicians are not prepared to respond to. It's a defensive tone.
Mind you, I've seen the, what I call the war room, coincidentally. I'm not sure why the war room was employed to respond to this issue. The particular war room put out a release, and a number of their sycophants was released. Oh, this Christmas tree was incomplete, and that y'all took the picture too early. You should have taken the picture days after the actual event, and you're being unfair. You're like criticized, you know. In fact, we save money
by not completing it.
Anyway, but I'm just saying it's odd that every time Bohemians demand more, people are employed to diminish our opinions, even if we're right.
Mm-hmm.
Something is wrong with that.
It's not the opinion they diminish, you know. What they diminish is our right to engage government and the political class. That's what they're diminishing.
When you attended QC, so you got to play, it's a different type of education here, right?
Mm-hmm.
My school did this. Did y'all study Red Animal Farm?
Some grades read Animal Farm. My grade was not assigned Animal Farm.
You always have selection. That's good. Different type of school. But anyway, my school did Animal Farm,
mm-hmm.
right? And in this particular book, when Muriel the goat tried to, and Benjamin, who is cynical, tried to complain that the pigs were being unfair and this is unjust, they employed a group of sheep, the pigs did,
mm-hmm.
to bleat out everything. Every time you say, but this is, blah. There's a group of sheep, is it plural sheep? There's a group of sheep. Mm-hmm. who are employed that anytime there is critique, reasonable critique, any kind of criticism, say, hey, I believe you should do this better, the sheep are employed to block out all kind of criticism, any kind of conceptual thought to say, hey, this is not right. let's do it better. And the sheep become loud, obstinate, rude, challenge you, diminish you.
Buck you.
Yeah, the sheep get violent.
Let's go to this call. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, can you hear me, Kelly?
I can hear you.
In reference to the Christmas tree, I think it was completed, you know. My thing is, I wonder if it would be honest for the government to show us the receipt, right, for that Christmas tree. Also, why didn't they use the same lady who decorated Bay Street and I think part of our key last Christmas?
We are still using that lady.
Hello?
We are still using that lady. Just that two different people were employed for two different things. We have an employment for the Christmas tree and an employment for the decoration of Bay Street, the surrounding Bahamas, etc. So the lady who you're talking about is still employed.
Okay. In reference to the minister's response, mm-hmm. I think as a Bahamian, I think we need to be responsible for who we elect. Because the way the ministers respond, or government officials respond as if it ain't our business. Mm-hmm. You know, as taxpayers and persons like us who elect these people to run this country, and then they turn around and talk to us as if it ain't our business. As Bahamians, we have to now, as electorate, moving forward, we have to really analyze who we are electing so that we can fix this country, man. We can't continue down the path that we are going. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. Ms. Nuri, you want me to continue reading from the article or play the clip first?
Play the clip first.
Let's play the clip from the undersecretary from the Division of Culture in the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. Producer, let's play the clip.
But very quickly, I want to impress upon you, Undersecretary, this tree, it's costly.
No.
Okay?
This is the first time in decades that the tree is the least expensive it has ever been.
Wow.
And it's so interesting that that article has caused Bahamians to talk what they do not know. That article, unfortunately, was talking about another kind of decorations, as you know, that people love in other places.
Okay.
By another ministry. Just so happens they used our old picture. This tree cost under $25,000. Not the tree itself, but the tree, the trucking, the labor costs, and all of this you see tonight.
So the entire setup.
Exactly.
And getting it set up.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Well, thank you for saving the country some money.
Exactly.
We appreciate that in you.
Let someone know to put the excess on my bank account.
Let someone know to put the excess.
But don't mind that part.
On my bank account.
Don't mind that part. He just lost his place.
The cheek and tongue.
Yeah, he forgot that he is an official member of the public service. That's all. See, and then we just have to remember people. We have to remember them. That just because you're cultured doesn't mean you qualify to work in the Ministry of Culture. Mm-hmm. It's because you sound cultured. And I say that, and I could declare people like me to put my biases on the table. I could declare that I upset at that clip.
Let me ask you a question.
Livid. I won't read from. Well, you ask me a question.
Then you read, right? Yeah. The question was put forward to the undersecretary. This tree was expensive, and the undersecretary answered, "No."
First of all, $25,000 is expensive.
I don't see.
I get somebody on my phone right now who is desperate for assistance, and I can't figure out how to help this grown man, right? But you're sitting here talking about, oh, no, it's not expensive at all. $25,000 isn't expensive. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, I want to read what I think is the article that the undersecretary refers to mm-hmm. when he says that y'all read that article and you don't understand what you're talking about. I'm going to read the article, and then I'm going to tell you why we don't understand what we're talking about. The article is $500,000 bill for Christmas decorations this year. This was Thursday, November the 23rd of 2023 in the Nassau Tribune, written by Jade Russell. As the Christmas season approaches, New Providence and Family Island residents can expect a sparkling display of decorations worth over $500,000, according to Luther Smith, permanent secretary of the Ministry of Works and Utilities. Mr. Smith told the Tribune yesterday that this year will be the first time the ministry pays for Christmas decorations on some of the family islands, including Abaco, Exuma, Cat Island, and Eleuthera. He said Island Pearls International was awarded the contract to provide Christmas lights for Pompey Square, Downtown, and Fish Fry. Another contract was awarded to Kesmu Ellis, who will be assisting the ministry with dazzling light displays in the southern area of New Providence, including Edmund Moxie Park. Mr. Smith said the country's annual light displays get better each year. Quote, when you drive on West Bay Street next Monday or Tuesday, you will see that the lights have already been wrapped around the trees and the balls hanging out of the trees, he said. Then in the south, it will be something similar in that area, so everybody will be able to enjoy it young and old. Asked about the new family islands that will be decorated with lights this year, Mr. Smith expressed excitement that the ministry will be able to provide lights for more family islands in the future. The areas that we have identified are very popular areas. He said all the Christmas lights are expected to be installed by December 1st. The historic Pompey Square display is expected to be completed by December 8th. The article does not reference specifically a Christmas tree. Now, here's what I wanted to say to the undersecretary. The reason why people are, quote, unquote, not certain what they're talking about is because y'all don't ever provide us with any information. All of this could have been fixed with y'all providing us with a public record of the contract and what is expected from it.
I want to add that the undersecretary said another ministry donated the Christmas tree. He didn't say which ministry it was.
I take my oats to the billy goat, because I ain't eating my feelings today. I hope it was in the Ministry of Agriculture.
But let me read this. I just read one or two paragraphs. It says, let me see which.
Is that the Eyewitness News article?
Eyewitness News article. You have that, or you want me to read that?
I'm pulling it up right now.
It's a rave reviews pouring from Bohemians and visitors. Cost of Christmas tree peg at $50,000. Additional cost for surrounding lights and nativity scene. You have that yet?
Yeah, I have it.
Let me just do a preamble. This is the Christmas tree, and it's pegged at $50,000. This was last year.
Mm-hmm.
This was last
2022.
Year. 2022. And this year, it's now $25,000, right? Half of the price of last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no explanation given as to why there is a decrease, right? I hear reasons, right? But at that present time, the undersecretary had a duty of care. See that duty of care word? To explain to us, said, okay, we saved money, but how? Why?
Let me tell you
what
something.
What was different,
Mr.
and Uri, what can we expect for next year?
I love these young people talk. Take my oats to the billy goat. If I find out a foreign direct investor gave us that tree, ooh.
It leaves room to just assume and just guess. He didn't give no information. But read the first two paragraph and the list right to that surrounding setup.
All right, so the headline on the Eyewitness News site is "A Symbol of Hope. Downtown Christmas Decorations Shine Bright Amid Dreary Pandemic." Remember, this is December 2021, Mr. Newry.
Yep, okay.
2021. Here we go. The Christmas decorations in Rawson Square and Parliament Square have garnered significant attention this year, with many Bahamians and tourists alike expressing their approval of the spectacular display of lights. The tree itself was designed by Decorators Den, which was contracted by the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture at a cost of $50,000, according to Minister Mario Boleg.
So we know the price for the Christmas tree in 2021.
Right. The surrounding setup, including the lights, nativity scene, and surrounding decor, was designed by Island Pearl International.
I think they got the contract again for this year.
Right, for the decor, not for the tree.
Not for the tree.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which was contracted by the Ministry of Works at a separate cost. So the work that Island Pearl International did was separate from the $50,000
yes.
cost of the tree. Both squares have been fully transformed for the first time in decades as the country once again sees the cancellation of the annual Junkanoo parades due to the lingering COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, you can stop right there. That's the point I'm trying to make. Everything else is just there, right? And right now, I'm not sure exactly what all is going to be on the display, because I know we had a area of lights, a city of lights that we could walk through. I'm assuming that's going to be still happening. But my concern is, or what I'm bringing up is the $25,000, the saving of $25,000 without an explanation.
Right.
Last time...
Telling me that some ministry, unnamed ministry, donated the tree?
Mm-hmm.
That's not sufficient.
Now, I heard that the decoration was done internally. That staff of the ministry decorated themselves, right? And that's how they were able to save. They didn't pay a contracted person out.
That's an allegation. It's hearsay. That's what you heard.
That's what I heard. That's what you heard, right? And all that semantics, right? Even though the labor of that has a price, it might just be as absorbed into the ministry itself. But I would like to know, moving forward, is this a policy that we're not going to be contracting the Christmas tree decoration out anymore? Which is cool, which is good. We're saving $25,000, in quotes, not necessarily saving. Or something happened, right, that we needed to move the money from the Christmas tree.
I could be honest with you, I don't like it. I don't like it. You can't be doing that to public servants.
You mean you can't say, man, you got to do the Christmas tree for free?
Yeah, you can't take someone off of their contracted job and tell them now this is a part of your job description. Or certainly you cannot penalize people who refuse to participate. It's a bad precedent to set.
You are analytical. And you try to, again, with your utopian view about how we should run our government and how governance should happen. And I'm saying these things happen.
No, it's not utopian. We have a constitution. Mm-hmm. And I expect, at the very least, my political actors can explain to me how their actions fall within the scope of the relevant constitutional provisions. Mm. That's all. It's not a utopian mindset. That's a very basic. And if we move past this point where we say, we okay, we're going to turn a blind eye, we understand that governing the country according to the Constitution is so difficult that we're going to have to sometimes ignore the Constitution, that means we have devolved into chaos.
But as we transition to the different topic, right, do government, the government agencies that we employed, right, do they owe us a duty of care to explain why was there a saving? Right? Why didn't we employ a decorator? Will we be doing this? Is a new policy now moving forward that we won't do that? We're going to have staff of the ministry do it instead. You know, I just want to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Producer, let's try and take this call quickly before we end the show. We're going to have to head into the next hour very quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Neri.
Morning.
Hey, 1 minute. That's all you get. I was saying I enjoy listening to you all, like, back in the morning, like around 3, 2 o'clock when they play back.
Yes, sir.
And I get to appreciate Nuri more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that he's breaking out or nothing, or he getting smart or he learning around you. I think he's feeling relaxed and speaking his mind. I like how he deal with them people with them U.S. Japanese cars and things, tell them what to do with it and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and how to do sense and stuff. Man, I enjoy listening to y'all too.
Thank you.
One more hour to go, eh?
Yeah, man, 1 more hour to go.
All right.
Thank you very much. Y'all don't mind Nuri. Nuri is the Chikchani I trying to catch now. Smart man.
Anyway, it's 11 o'clock, Aaron.
Let's switch over. Let's take this, end my show on the clock, and then let me beg you to bother you. Answer
ahead,
that last
Aaron.
Question,
yes.
And then maybe we could touch on some of the articles I read off at the top of the show.
Because I still vexed ratted over that police locking up that little boy
during his exam.
During his exam. That needs to be explained. The police commissioner needs to talk to me.
When in Great Britain, in the pandemic, they just pass everybody with a grade. Like, oh, this is too tremendous for you. We just pass everybody for the exam.
Have mercy.
You've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Please stay tuned. Guardian Radio and with C.A. Nuri is up next. I got a letter from Miami. I got to go check it out, Mr. Nuri. You guys have a great day.